At 9 o'clock tonight on Thames, it's Minder. But right now we are stepping back in time with the guys from Retro Asylum.
Hello and welcome back to the Retro Asylum. My name's Dean Swain and this is episode 266. Coming up later in this episode, I'll be talking to Nicola and Anthony Caulfield of Gracious Films about their new Kickstarter movie project, The Rubber Keyed Wonder, which is all about the ZX Spectrum, hence my interest. So I'll be talking to those soon, and if you stay tuned, you can find out how to win posters from four of their films. Basically, I think it's From Bedrooms to Billions, The Meager Years, The PlayStation Revolution, and this one, The Rubber Keyed Wonder. They're signed posters, so stay tuned on how to win those. That will be coming up after the interview. This is going to be a shorter than usual episode because I'm by myself and we are currently preparing for our 10th year anniversary episode, which we are going to be recording on the 14th of November, which is Sunday coming up. And I thought it'd be nice if any of you guys want to send in a message to congratulate us, say what you're favourite parts of the show have been over that time, you know, when you started listening, who you miss, what host you miss, whatever. You know, any little message, as long as it's fairly nice, please do email it to me. You can either do a recording or just send in your messages, but you can send those to me at dean@retroasylum.com. Or if not, get onto our Discord channel and there is a folder in there called podcast episodes, I think, and you can leave a message in there. So, we all met up last week. Yeah, it was last week at Arcade Club. I went up on the Friday, and it was a long old drive from the southeast on the Essex and Hertfordshire border. It took about 5 hours to get up to Manchester. I met quite a few of our listeners. Unfortunately, Mads and Chris couldn't make it. Although it was planned, you know, the way things are in the world, unfortunately, those plans fell through. But myself and Steve were up there. Chris O'Regan, ex-host of the show, was there. Loads of faces, and it was a really good time. But you can hear more about that in the next episode. But I just want to say thanks to everyone who showed up. And sorry for those who couldn't make it. Anyway, I've not really had much time for gaming this past week. It's been a bit hectic, but something that has caught my eye is Prince of Persia has been released on the Atari XL / XE. Now, it's only for 1 to 8K machines, but my God, this version of the game is really quite striking. So if you've got access to an Atari 8-bit computer with 128K of RAM, then please do give it a try. Okay, so we're going to get on with the interview. I just want to thank Nicola and Anthony for their time. This was recorded during this week and we had all sorts of issues with the sound, but myself and Steve have managed to get the recording to a listenable standard. Hopefully you won't notice any problems with it. Anyway, enjoy, and I'll be back on after the interview with details on how to win those posters.
what's cool can soothe, can perform, can give maximum entertainment at all times. This podcast can. Retro Asylum GTX. Nostalgic Engineering.
Welcome back to the Retro Asylum, Anthony and Nicola Caulfield.
Hello.
Hello there.
Thanks for having us back.
It's been a long time. So you spoke to Andy last time.
Yeah.
And that was Bedrooms to Billions.
When it all started.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember.
And it was great. It was a great film.
Thank you. Thanks very much. It was enjoyable to do.
Yeah,
actually,
we really enjoyed it. So, a Spectrum film. Is this Nicola getting her own way again because she had a Spectrum when she was younger?
I think so. Oh, I do love my Spectrum. I really go on and on and on about all the lovely things about my Spectrum. I used to sit there for hours. Well, lie.
Was she looking in magazines like this?
Yes.
Typing in listings.
Typing listings. And I would lie on the floor in my mum and dad's front room.
Yeah.
Spectrum on the floor, neck tilted back, the worst posture in the world, and type. And I loved it. But yeah, I would spend hours doing that. Absolutely. I thought it was amazing. I don't know. It was just something so lovely about it. And it was, we all went, it was my mum and dad and my brother, and we went out and we got it. And it was just like so magical. It's just one of them really lovely memories that always stuck with me. And I always go on and on and on, Anthony, about this game that I love playing on it. I'm going to mention it again.
Oh, no.
Go on.
Called Chamber of Horrors. And I absolutely loved it. And I've never, ever met anyone else who's played it. So you never know.
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah. Maybe it was...
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
Exactly.
It's funny, though. During lockdown, my Spectrum Next arrived, and I just ended up programming in BASIC for about 3 weeks, and it just brought it all back.
Yeah.
Brilliant system, isn't it? Yeah. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
It's just, I was floored when Henrique sent us one. So kind of him, you know, just so we could get to grips of it and everything. We weren't involved in the original Kickstarter. I think our heads were down finishing the PlayStation Revolution. And it just, I totally agree with you. It just gives you that, almost that first computer feeling all over again.
Yeah,
it's brilliant.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So will the next be covered in the new film?
Definitely, because it is part of the heritage. It's there's a lot about the Spectrum is really interesting because obviously we want to cover how it came to be. So obviously through the earlier systems, MK14, ZX80, and there was actually some interesting stories prior to even the kit computers that came out before the, you know, because we take it for granted, even in 1982, 83, that we could walk into a shop and walk out with a pre-assembled home computer in a box. And, you know, you go back as early as 76 and 75, you couldn't get them pre-assembled. They, you know, they were effective like a kit form, thousands of joints. We covered some of that in the first film. So what we want to do is cover the progression up to the release of the Spectrum, then what happened to it after that. And then right the way, I mean, the clone story of the, I'm not going all Star Wars here, the story of the clones of the Spectrum, Timex, it's massive. And there's so much of it we didn't know. We've learned so much more since we started our Kickstarter, actually.
People have been writing to us with all different stories. And we thought, oh, I didn't even know that. You know, so, yeah, like Anthony said, there's so much that we're already finding out. It is kind of our intention to keep this to 80 minutes. But if we keep finding out all these amazing things.
It will be 80 minutes.
It's a lot to cover, isn't it?
It's not changing.
It is, yeah. Yeah, we will stick to it.
We are doing lots of extras. That's the thing. I think this project lends itself. We felt that the From Bedrooms films, they're all 2.5 hours long. And really, as filmmakers, you sort of think, okay, you know, that's fans like that sort of length. But really, we wanted to do something that you could sit down and watch in one go, 80 minutes. So many people have said to us over the years, oh, I've seen the first bit, or the first bit of From Bedrooms, or Miggy is. Yeah, I'm halfway through it. And you think, okay, we really need to think about this when we're doing the next one. Because, you know, you don't really want that. You want people watching it all the way through. And so we'll do 80 minutes and a good, tight, well-made 80 minutes. And then plenty of extras with lots of featurettes that self-contained programs, almost like almost like a series of programs to run alongside the main film. This is probably a new little bit of a new direction for us in terms of doing so many of these little things to the side. But my work, the number of stories that we've learned since we've set the Kickstarter up, and I think that's the thing. It's we wanted to feature fans in this, and it's not that you have to back the project to be featured. It's not like that. You're not paying for interviews or anything. It's more to do with the fact of by backing it, we can then exchange. People have been sending us so much information, and it's like they can be carried along through the production as we progress as well. So it's a we're always prepared to learn something new each day. That's what I love about doing these films. You just you never get to a point where you think you know it all. Otherwise, you should get out of it because you've got you. I continue to get surprised.
So how long have you actually been planning this one?
Good question, actually. Well,
August time would we be thinking about?
We were thinking of a Commodore 64 one first because that's also an anniversary.
That was going to be my next question. A lot of people are asking when you're going to do a Commodore 64 one or maybe an Amstrad
one. Kind of started it, actually. The Commodore 64 one is probably more advanced than the Spectrum one, but we're doing the Spectrum one because we just felt that we had... It's when we made the From Bedrooms films, we obviously came away with a ridiculously large number of interviews, most of them two, in certain cases, 3 hours long a piece. So we always knew that really there's snippets really in those original films. And we sort of felt that we've got so much Spectrum material that where there were a lot of sequences that we were sort of exploring originally, weren't we, on the Spectrum?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing with the first film. It got to... It's like you're going along a road and there's all these different ways we can go off. And, you know, when we got to in the first film, when we were covering the Commodore 64 and we were covering the Spectrum, they could have been films in their own right at that point because we had so many interviews, so much footage. And, of course, since then, we've interviewed more people. More people have been speaking about them machines as well. So we did sit down. We thought, OK, we do want to do a Commodore 64 one. We do want to do a Spectrum one. We thought, I think maybe as well with Sir Clive Sinclair passing away.
Yeah, I was going to say, was his passing part of it?
Yeah, I think it maybe was. And we thought, you know, it's the 40th anniversary next year. Yeah. Let's do that. But we really want to do a Commodore 64 one as well. Definitely going to be, I would think it's going to be our next one to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. In terms of where the project was, the 64 one had been sort of... I'd been working on it as well, and we've been sharing bits and pieces for quite some time, and we sort of had a fair, and we also had another one drafted out which is on the A500, because with the Amiga years this is one of the things. Amiga years is almost like two films, because you get the first part, which is like the hardware story, which gets to a point, but what we're always more in, though the hardware is critical, we always like the game designer, the game developer side of things. So the point is, we got it to the release of the Amiga, and then we want to hear what it did for the developers. And that's what it's funny. We've had people saying, I wanted more development stuff. And other people said, I want more hardware stuff. So we thought, well, the A500 part of the story, we've already got all the interviews, Bob Welland, everybody that was involved in it. So we sort of thought, well, that's a self-contained film at some point. We know we can put that out. And we kind of wanted to do some targeted stuff that we can get out quicker, because I don't know if you know this, but the From Bedrooms films have a bit of a habit of running over in terms of production time. And we did actually used to pride ourselves.
I don't remember it.
I think someone mentioned it once.
Taken a while.
Yeah, I vaguely remember potentially something like that.
That's because, though, we end up interviewing people and then they say, oh, why don't you interview so-and-so, so-and-so? And we keep finding out different things and we're like, oh, we've got to interview them. And then it just kind of grew. And then obviously the more people you're interviewing, the harder it is to edit, because you've got many more hours to work with.
It's the wrong way around to do it as well.
But we have all that wonderful footage. It is our intention to incorporate some of the unused footage from the films, as well as new interviews as well.
Just to answer your question really clearly as well, why we put the Spectrum one first, it's because there's also things we're trying to work out in the background on the Commodore one and the Amiga one. So we thought, well, with the Spectrum one, we read a lot of the obits to do with Sir Clive. And, you know, there was a good collection of obituaries, but there was a lot about Sinclair and stuff that really didn't emerge. And we sort of felt that there was a sort of a feeling of, well, there's actually a really good story that no one really seems to have picked up on. And that meant that when we looked into it, we realised there was loads that we didn't know. And it really is a fascinating story. What shocked us was we think UK ZX Spectrum, yeah, it's a, you know, it's a brilliant, I heard Charlie Brooker once refer to it as the people's computer. He's absolutely right. Lowered the barriers of entry, allowed people to get their hands on a home computer when let's be honest, the equivalent a year or so earlier, the Atari 800 was $1,000.
Oh, it was, you know, very Apple II, yeah.
You know, if BBC Micro, expensive gear, even the Commodore 64 was way out of the price range. ZX Spectrum, bang, 16K was £125, £125, yeah. Which meant it was a viable option for most parents. That's why kids, so many kids my age, they had that was it, the Spectrum. That was the answer, and their entry in. And of course, the Spectrum being a computer meant you could have games with more depth. You're not having the obsession with coin-driven play. You can, developers, children, whoever they were at the time, were able to experiment from their own points of view, and that's why we had so many innovative titles and things. And of course, the Spectrum had such a wonderful way of applying graphics. Forget color clash, you know, let's look at definition, yeah. Let's look at actually really making refined graphics, which is what so many talented artists did. I could stop now because I think I could go on forever about it, but I think we sort of felt there's a good story.
I totally agree. I think it's probably one of the most important computers ever released.
Mm. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's 40. You know, it's coming up to its 40th anniversary. Yeah. And we sort of hope that we sort of looked at it and, you know, a couple of people actually said to us, oh, Spectrum's hard. I don't know if you get the backers, if there's that much interest in it anymore. And we sort of thought, because the Commodore seemed more obvious in that respect, but we actually were driven more by wanting to do this story now. It wasn't really so much about whether we thought that there'd be more backers for this or that. It was more about what we wanted to do and what we wanted to do now. And we felt, so Clive did, you know, passed. We already put together the basics of a Spectrum film and we thought, let's do it. Let's do it. And let's actually strike now while people are, while it's still in the consciousness, and try and get as many of the original hardware team back together. Try and get as many developers that we missed when we did From Bedrooms, people like Clive Townsend, Sandy White's, there's other people on our list that we really wish that we'd been able to secure and get the first time, and we thought, let's do it, and also cover the clones, because as I went off on a massive tangent in the wrong direction earlier, we think UK, you know, amazing, we got access to it, but when we started to understand about how massive the Spectrum was outside of the UK in terms of the way it was cloned, the Timex systems, South America. Millions of units.
Quite a few people have written to us about the clones and that. You know, it's a great story, isn't
just,
it?
You know,
well, that's how the next came about, really, wasn't it?
And again, brilliantly executed. That's the thing. The thing is, sometimes when you say it's a fan driven project, you can give the wrong impression. But that's the thing. Some fans that know what they're doing can sort of evolve something and get something absolutely with all the things they would really want in an ideal. So, I mean, one of the greatest touches for me on the next was just the audio cassette port. Just, you know, that's just says it all for me, that you just, even if you just want to relive as much of the old days and go through cassette loading, which, do you know what? I'm actually going to show my kids. When you try to describe cassette loading times to a child today, they think it's suddenly falling out of a tree.
It's that sound. Because I do try and explain this to the kids, that when you put the cassette in, if it made a certain sound, you knew it was loading. And then if it didn't, you'd sit there. I'd sit with my precision screwdriver and adjusting that little screw on the top of the tape deck. And then you think, it's making that noise now. Now I'm going to sit here for 6 minutes.
And every so often you have to blow air to blow all the filings, the metal cloud that had built up around that little head
screw.
There
was just something really nice about that, though.
Yeah. I remember when mine wore down. That was a problem.
It probably did annoy me at the time, but I look back on it now very fondly.
It's part of it, the loading screens, the sounds.
Yeah. Because your mind, that's the thing, it was the experience. Mm. It was the whole, will it load, will it not load? Oh, I've got this new game, let's try this out. And of course, I've got one over there, but having a Spectrum. By the way, that's another thing about the Spectrum. When you look at it, I know this is audio only.
I've got my actual Spectrum.
But I'm now holding a Spectrum here. The it's still really, really classy design. You look at some things, like you might look at a vacuum cleaner from 1980 and think, oh, you know, it looks, you don't sort of look at it and think, my God, that looks amazing. But when you look at the ZX Spectrum, it really does. It's almost the same size as an iPad. It's about iPad. I'm probably got people shouting at me now for that, but It's just astonishing.
I think
design.
That's Rick Dickinson, though, isn't it? The
yep.
You know, the designs he's done were amazing.
It's absolutely tight. And that's something, yeah. Obviously, Rick and Sir Clive are only going to be in this through archive. That's the only way we can get them in. And I think that's one of the things that's the most expensive part of this film, which is why we hope people support it, is we've got to license a lot of third-party archive, BBC, ITV, Getty. They've all got footage of like the Amstrad takeover, the factories, the assembly line.
We like the archive.
And that all costs money.
All costs money.
Many thousands of
but
pounds.
But the archive gives you that feeling of what it was like back then. That's why we like it. And the if we license any music as well, that obviously costs money. So that's where big chunks of money goes into licensing and archive. So,
and the only way to get this film, this is the thing I've noticed now with people writing to us saying I couldn't get from Bedroom Civilians the first time and things like that. We don't supply them again. We do a single run, and then once they're done, they're done. And then if a distributor takes it on, they won't be taking on the same version. It'll be a vanilla version of it. And that's what we've always said. That's why backers. But this time, everybody gets their name in the end credits. There's no, we listened to backers last time and we sort of thought, no, they're absolutely right. Everyone should get their name in the end credits for supporting it, because we can't do it without supporters. Yeah. You know,
and I think that's with the Kickstarter. We always try and make the artwork unique because then it just stands out a little bit more, you know.
And Commodore 64 fans out there listening to this, and if there's anybody thinking, why are they not doing the 64 film now? Well, I'll tell you, we are going to be doing that film, but I grew up with a Commodore 64, but everybody I knew, I was very lucky to get one because my dad worked for Music Sales, which had a contract with Commodore to produce.
He brought one home for you, didn't he, on his first day at work?
That's it. You remember that story? Absolutely.
And, I do.
And he, and that, you know, and but I was the only one that had a Commodore. And I had a disc drive, but no cassette player. Could you believe? You know, it wasn't a rich family, so I couldn't afford the disc games. And no one at school had disc; they only had cassette. So I remember having to beg him for weeks to get a cassette player, and then I could start playing games. But I grew up, and everyone around me had a Spectrum, so I was exposed to the Spectrum. If anything, probably more than my own Commodore, because it was just everywhere. And I want to see this story told. So hopefully a few of our Commodore 64 fans out there will appreciate. We're trying to just take part in a piece of, hopefully, gaming history.
Yeah, and the C64 one is coming.
Yes.
It will be coming.
If anyone wants to know more about what we're doing, it's always the same email address. It's b2b@graciousfilms.com, GRACIOUS.com, and we can put you on the mailing list.
Great. I'm sure our listeners will appreciate that.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Right, so when does the Kickstarter end?
Right, Kickstarter finishes on the 21st of November, which is a Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. So probably best to go in before that, as we probably don't want any last-minute races. But I think what we've got is a lot of Oliver Frey stuff, some really special stuff we've got on the campaign, and hopefully to get the old nostalgia going. We've got a lot of stuff on the campaign, which hopefully should appeal. All sorts of little bits and pieces and posters and postcards. But, you know, also I think probably with this one, is that we're going to do more video diaries. We're going to do a lot more stuff other than just written updates. Nothing wrong with written updates, of course, but we want to actually do, we've got some viewing parties and some things like that. And because we really love that interchange we have with people that like our work. So we want to kind of encourage that. And we are launching a YouTube channel before Christmas. Eventually, we've got a lot of stuff. Very, very different. It's called Ant and Nick's Cabin Fever, and it will feature games, and we do have some really special guests on it. But it's going to be also vinyl and all sorts of crazy stuff. We've got the guy that created K9 and Aurak from Blake 7, and we've got prop masters from other films.
So it's all different nostalgia then.
Yeah, man, things that are around the cabin basically, because there's film props in there as well as games
and gameplay. Hope we can play Chamber of Horrors.
Yes, we can. Stu Cambridge is going to be a guest on it before the year. So Stu only lives up the road.
Yeah.
So John Hare as well doesn't live far away. So we'll probably have a few laughs on that. And I'm sure there'll be.
I'll have to pop down. I'm only in Bishop Stortford.
Exactly. Yeah. You're only up the road. So we can do
come
one
and
here.
See
as well.
Us. Yeah,
what would you
nice.
Want? The Commodore? We've got the next here. We can do Commodore. We can do Spectrum. We can play. And the idea
Anything.
Is you play
Anything.
And talk rubbish. That's the idea. The idea is you put a game on, but it's more about what we're talking about, not necessarily what we're playing. So,
well, it's funny, we actually done a three-part 1980s series podcast, and they were the most popular things we've done in ages.
Fantastic. Yeah. It's just brilliant, isn't it? It's just absolutely brilliant. I have to listen to those, actually.
I love anything like that. If anything comes on the telly that's to do with like the 70s and the 80s and that, I just get hooked in. I just get fascinated by it, looking at all different gadgets, the music, just everything about it is lovely.
Yeah, it's. Yeah. I think that's the thing, making these films, this one feels a bit like coming home. There's something, there's almost an unfinished business. And it's and we've got a hell of a lot of archive that we've already researched when we were making the first film. So there's a hell of a lot of things for this film that we've already kind of got lined up in terms of, so we know we can put it out a lot quicker. And we want to get it out a lot quicker. And that's why we kind of want to speed up by, we're going to have a voiceover for this film. Hopefully it'll be a real surprise. We've got quite an amazing
few ideas.
If the top one comes off, that'll be unbelievable. But let's just see. But yeah, so follow us along, join the campaign, just follow along what we're doing, because it should be exciting.
Yeah. Cool.
At least I'm feeling excited.
Well, guys, yeah, we wish you the best of luck as always.
Thanks.
I know you're short on time, so I'll let you go. But it's been nice chatting to you again.
Oh, we should say the name of the film, by the way. I don't think we said it once. The film is called The Rubber Keyed Wonder. 40 years of the Sinclair ZX Spectrum. So it's on Kickstarter. Just look for The Rubber Keyed Wonder, or our names, of course. And
well, we really were struggling with a name, weren't we? And then when we were doing the write-up, you wrote the line, The Rubber Keyed Wonder, in a piece. It was like a little, we were just writing just some paragraphs, weren't we, for planning out our Kickstarter. And we're like, that's a really nice name.
Yeah,
it just suddenly appeared. Like, yeah, that's nice, because it is. It's them rubber keys. Everyone thinks about the rubber keys.
Because the name we had before that was rubbish. Yeah, and I remember thinking, God, that's terrible. And I'm just, and you know, like, because you put a working title in, you know, you're going to change it. And I was so fed up with the rubbish working title. I just sat there and wrote 3 or 4 titles out, and that was, I think, the first.
It was just in these paragraphs. But we're terrible for we come up with a title and we think. We keep, and if it's awful, we'll go to each other. That's just the working title. We have to keep reminding one another, that's just a working title.
Yeah.
And then we sit there for 2 days struggling and thinking, what can we call these films? The Rubber Keyed Wonder, we like that one.
It sounds good, and, you know, going by all the other films you've made, I'm really looking forward to it.
Thank you, Dean. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Yeah. You too. No problem.
Lovely. Thank you.
Take care, guys.
Take care. Bye bye there.
Bye bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Hello, listeners. This is Mass. You know, the sexy one. Don't forget, Retro Asylum isn't just the UK's number one retro gaming podcast. It's also a scientifically proven aphrodisiac. So be kind to yourselves and subscribe now.
So there you go, guys. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Anthony and Nicola Caulfield. They're a really nice couple, and their work is outstanding. All of their films that they've produced have been really, really good. The good news is that the campaign has actually reached its funding goal, so that film is now definitely going to happen. They announced that yesterday. Today is Tuesday. So yeah, that was Monday, the 8th of November. It reached its goal. Now, I mentioned earlier on about winning some posters. And to do that, you back the film, and then on Kickstarter, send them a message. That's Anthony and Nicola. Send them a message just saying, Retro Asylum. And that enters you into the draw to win these 4 posters that are signed featuring their artwork. Okay, guys? So that's well worth doing. If you're going to back the film, you might as well get some free posters from it. So you'll be entered into a draw. It won't be everyone who sends a message. It will just be, I'm not sure how many people they'll pick, but it could just be one. I'm not too sure. Anyway, it's worth doing, and it's going to be a great film. I can assure you of that. I'm going to be shooting off now. As I say, we're preparing for our next episode. Again, if you've got any messages that you want us to read out on the show, or if you want to send in an audio message, please email me at dean@retroasylum.com, or send a message via Twitter, via Facebook, via Discord, whatever. All right then, guys. Until next time, take care, stay safe,
and we shall see you very soon. Bye bye.
From now on, unlike your parents were, you are the secret force of Retro Asylum.
Playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, they're more retro than J1 Optimus Prime. At home or the arcade for adventures in a family.